Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, please turn to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, where I'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 28 to 32. Let us now hear the inspired word of the living God. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Thank you, Vince. Appreciate Vince reading the Word of God for us this morning. We are looking specifically at verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, verse 28. Let me reread that verse for you once again, where it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." This is really part two in a message we started earlier on gambling, the devil's trap. And we started to talk this morning earlier about how gambling has devastated our nation and devastated so many families, and perhaps even has caused some problems in your home as well. Gambling certainly is this appeal to sheer chance. We mentioned that there are many things in life that are risks. There are a lot of things in life. A farmer has a risk, you know. We talked about that, you know, and so forth and so on. But they're controllable to a certain extent. But gambling is appeal to sheer chance, and it devastates families. It has devastating effects. And I'm going to talk to you this morning a little bit about the effects of gambling and the devastating effects that it has. First of all, let me just mention that it provides wealth for a handful of people at the expense of the masses of people, mostly the poor. People in the lowest income tax bracket spend four times as much as their income on gambling than others do. So gambling is really an exploitation of the poor. It's exploiting the uneducated. It's exploiting the undisciplined. It's exploiting the people who have no self-control. It's exploiting people many times who are lazy. And in my mind, it's an unthinkable thing that our government that is supposed to exist for the welfare of the people, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, as Abraham Lincoln said, it's unthinkable that a government for the benefit of the people would get to the place where it exploits the poor, the very people it's trying to help, through gambling. The exploitation of the poor is massive. On one hand, you hear all this constant promotion today, it drives me crazy, on about raising taxes on the wealthy, taxing of all, I never heard such stupidity in all my life, taxing the people who work hard, taxing the people who produce the most and are most successful, put heavy taxes on them while they limit those very same people that from hiring other people in their companies, in their businesses, because they have to give so much money back to the government now, so they have to cut back on their workforce. And that's why we have all this corporate merging going on and so forth, and people losing their jobs. And the day of corporate mergers is because of all the taxation we have in this nation. And companies are coming together, cutting people loose earlier, just so they won't collect their pension, just so they won't collect their hospitalization or health insurance and retirement benefits and so forth, because the taxation bill was so high. So on the one hand, the government is saying we have to tax the rich so we can give benefits to the poor, but in the same breath, at the same time, it's absolutely clear it's an act of hypocrisy, because the government institutes government sponsoring gambling by supporting the lotteries, by supporting the lottery system, and supporting people that encourage people to be able to buy lottery tickets and to gamble and so forth, and allow the casinos and all that to take place. They take money right out of the very hands of the people under fantasy somehow that they're going to get rich quick, that need the money the most. So We realize that gambling exploits the poor and the undisciplined and the weak because it increases their debts. It demands that they try to win something and get something for nothing. And it demeans work. It robs families of the resources. It breaks up marriages, and sometimes it even leads to suicide, tragically. Secondly, gambling has devastating effects because it promotes crime. They used to say, you bring gambling in and, you know, it'll build up all the businesses and it'll make for more jobs. They said, you know, we create a big casino world in Atlantic City and it'll build up all the businesses. Do you know what's happened in Atlantic City? You know as well as I do because we live so close. Since Atlantic City legalized gambling in 1976, its population has shrunk. Unemployment is higher. Crimes are up 380%. The police force has been doubled. Half of all the 2,100 businesses there before that time have closed. Four of the past six mayors have been indicted for corruption, and three have served sentences or are presently serving prison sentences. Gambling doesn't eliminate social ills. It just compounds them. It just compounds them and generates them. One writer said, quote, Atlantic City used to be the slum by the sea. Now it's the slum by the sea with casinos. End quote. And he's so right. Gambling is known as a promoter of organized crime. Everywhere around the casino, street crime is elevated. A report by the New Jersey Casino Control Commission said, quote, casino gambling is a magnet for street criminals, end quote. And they had absolutely nothing but a huge increase in rape, assault, prostitution, and drug abuse, all dealing around these casinos. And of course, gambling now alone is done in a variety of ways. You can do it online. You can do it on, you know, on your phone. You can do it through lottery. You can do it cyberspace gambling, virtual gambling. All this other things is they're just commonplace today. And wherever gambling goes, crime goes with it. Las Vegas claims to be one of the highest nations in crime rates. Las Vegas is one of the highest in the nation's crime rates, at city of Las Vegas. The state of Nevada lists one of the highest incarceration rates in the nation. 40% of the people jailed in Nevada are from out of state. So that means they invite criminals in and when they operate gaming. And one in six households in Nevada has filed for bankruptcy. That's the highest rate in the nation. Nevada also has the highest consumption of alcohol in the nation. And by the way, these casinos give away sometimes free alcohol to high rollers that come in and say it's a free benefit, a fringe benefit, because inebriated people, people that are intoxicated, drunk people, will gamble more. I remember back in the 60s, and you do too, a man by the name of Leonard Toews. Leonard Toews was the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles back in the 60s, you remember. And he went to Atlantic City and he lost millions upon millions and upon millions. And that's when millions were worth more than what they are today, back in 76 and before that. And so he lost so much money that he had to sell his beloved Eagles, crying. He sold his beloved Eagles because he was in debt so much, because they gave him alcohol, and it showed him in videotapes that actually he was intoxicated while he was drinking. And he tried to use that as a means of being able to get out of his gambling debt, but he couldn't because he was there. And so they kept feeding him more and more alcohol. In 1994, the FBI found that criminals in Las Vegas committed five times as many violent crimes as the police were able to solve, which is the worst ratio of any large city in the United States. Statistics tell us that when casinos move in, crime rate goes up 300, 400, 500, sometimes 1,000%. But in spite of all this, the church has addressed this issue. It has not addressed this issue. We have spoken out against abortion, which we have just recently. We've spoken out against homosexuality, which we have just recently. We've spoken out against pornography, which we have before in the past as well, and family issues. But somehow this issue of gaming has gone unspoken about and not really brought up as much. It's an epidemic in our nation today. And I really decided today to start to speak on this, and this has been pre-planned for a year in advance. I planned my messages a year out, as it were. But I planned it to do it now at the end of January, the beginning of February, because next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. And it's the gambler's heyday. More money is bet on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day in the year. It is a gambler's paradise. It really is. And so I decided to speak on this this Sunday and next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, because this is the gambler's big day, Super Bowl Sunday. That is the problem of gambling. Well, what are the principles involved in gambling? Let me just mention some of the principles involved in gambling. Gambling is immoral because of the following reasons. First of all, it drains the economic provisions that God makes for the poor. Gambling is immoral because it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us, and 18 tells us. And so we understand that it gives us the opportunity. God is the one who gives us what we have. Whatever mental abilities we have, whatever educational abilities we were able to afford to us, whatever skills we may have, abilities that we have, whatever opportunities by the providence of God came into our lives that afforded us to have what we have, it's been by the gracious goodness of God. God keeps our hearts beating. God keeps our lungs breathing. God is the one who does all this. And so God is the one who gives us what we have. And how dare we take what God gives us and throw it away and give it to the gaming industry. And that's what happens. It drains the economic provisions that God makes for the poor. And everything that comes from God and gaming drains all of that. It just sucks it up. And then secondly, gambling is immoral because it undermines giving to the poor. It undermines giving to the poor. Instead of giving to the poor and helping the poor, gambling exploits the poor. It takes from the poor. As I said before, those who are in the lower income tax bracket do the most gambling. Why? Because they're hoping they hit their number. They're hoping their number comes up. They're hoping they're going to hit the jackpot. They're hoping they're going to hit the lottery. And it's a fantasy that they're chasing. And our country and our nation and our government supports it and states support it. Thirdly, gambling is immoral because it erodes biblical work ethic. It erodes the biblical work ethic. God is honored and exalted work. God wants us to work. In fact, Exodus 20 verse 9 says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. All work ethic is demeaned by gambling. It demeans work. The American work ethic is getting worse and worse. And so many people have this entitlement mentality. I'm entitled to a better life. I'm entitled to a better car. I'm entitled to a better house. I'm entitled to better clothes. I'm entitled to a vacation. I'm entitled to better whatever. I'm entitled to this. You're not entitled to anything. I'm not entitled to anything. We're not entitled to anything but hell. That's what we're entitled to, is hell. That's what we're entitled to. And by God's grace, and by His forgiveness, and those of us who accepted Him, we will not get what we're entitled to. Praise God. This entitlement mentality is sad. It demeans the work ethic. And as it goes, people demand the government to take care of them more and more and more, from the cradle to the grave. They want the government to take care of them. And this fantasy comes along, seducing more people all the time. The American dream used to be that if you worked hard enough and you could make a good living to support yourself and your family, you might not be a millionaire, but you could support your family, and you could have food on the table if you worked hard enough and you thought it out and you planned it out and you were alright. But the American dream now is hit the lottery. Who cares about work? I was talking to Brother Jerry just not long ago. We talked about it. And he said, Pastor, he said, you know, the work ethic, he says, when you ask people how they plan to make money, he says, work isn't even on the first 10 answers. It's not even in there at all. You know, first of all, it's gambling. Second, it's suing. You know, what do you want to sue? The pharmaceutical companies? Or you want to sue the doctors? You want to sue the hospitals? Or you want to sue somebody else? You sue them. And then, you know, and then you marry into it. And then it keeps on going down the list. And work isn't even on the top 10. It's something. The big dream now is hit the lottery. Cash in on the lottery. Win the lottery. That demeans work. And sociologist Mark Abrams said this, quote, "The same government that urged people to stay in school, seek job training, and work hard and sacrifice now encourages the fatalistic belief that people's lives can be changed drastically if their number comes up in a lottery. And so the state is selling the message with one hand and another message with the other hand. And so we need to pray for those in public office that they'll see through this nonsense, this stupidity. It's asinine what they're asking people to do. It really is. Fourthly, gamblers are in this devastating vice, and it's immoral because it promotes irrationality. It promotes irrationality. One of the things that we've always tried to promote is the use of the mind. Remember, there used to be a television commercial which says that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I remember seeing that commercial. The mind is a terrible thing to waste, and rationality is a God-given distinction that makes us different than an animal. And the ability to think and to reason and to sort things out and figure and prepare and plan, that's all part of God's image involved in us. But gaming and the gambling industry promotes irrationality. It promotes a fantasy world. And we're going to get rich quick, just real quick, by pure luck, by sheer chance. Our number's going to come up, our boat is going to come in. And then fifthly, gambling is immoral because it attracts the undisciplined, those who lack self-control, those who lack self-control. Well, that's just a general look of the immorality, as if you were, of gambling. Well, we saw the problem of gambling, the principles of gambling, and that are involved. And notice, I just want to know, you notice the particular sins gambling is built on. The particular sins gambling is built on. Number one, gambling is built on sin of materialism. The sin of materialism. The whole appeal is that you can get rich quick. That you can get rich quick. And it's need for more material things. If you ask people, if they play the lottery, what are you planning on doing with this? Well, I plan on buying this and doing this and doing this and taking a trip around the world, and I need a new car, and I'll pay my mortgage off. It's all this stuff they want to get. Yeah, and we're a society really given over and committed to things. I like what this one author said. It's kind of cute, but it's really, in its way, gets the point across. It says this, quote, "Mr. and Mrs. Steen are a very pleasant and successful couple. At least that is the verdict of most people who tend to measure their success with a thingameter. When the thingameter has put the work in the life of Mr. and Mrs. Steen, the result is startling. There he is sitting down on a very comfortable and expensive thing, almost hidden by a large number of other things. Things to sit on and things to stare at and things to cook on and things to eat from, all shiny and new. Things. Things to clean with and things to wash with and things to clean and things to wash. And things to amuse and things to give pleasure and things to watch and things to play. Things for the long hot summer, things for the cold short winter. Things for the big thing in which they live and things for the garden and things for the den and things for the kitchen and things for the bedroom. Things on four wheels and things on two wheels and things to put on top of the four wheels and things to pull behind the thing on the four wheels and things to add to the interior of the things on the four wheels. Things. And there in the middle is Mr. and Mrs. Thing, smiling pink and pleased with all their things, thinking of more things to add to the things, secure in their castle of things. Well, Mr. Thing, I have some bad news for you. Oh, you say you can't hear me because of all the things that are in the way? Well, I just want you to know that your things can't last. They're going to pass. They're going to be coming into them. Maybe an error in judgment, maybe a loss in concentration, or maybe you'll just pass them off to the second-hand thing dealer. Or maybe they'll end up a mass of mangled metal being towed off to the thing yard. And what about all the things in your house? Well, when you go to bed at night, make sure you lock the door and put on the alarm system, or some thing taker was going to come and take your things. And someday, when you die, they're only going to put one thing in that box, and that is you. And that is true. That is so true. We smile, but we are a society really committed to acquiring things. So gambling is built on this love of money and the sin of materialism, the more stuff we can get with it. Number two, gambling is built on the sin of greed, which kind of is coupled with materialism. And it's built on the ideas that what I have is not enough. I don't have enough clothes, you know. My car isn't good enough for me. I deserve a better house. I deserve a better car. I deserve a better vacation. I deserve better. So it's built on really the sin of greed. And the Bible says much about greed and envy and jealousy. By the way, envy and jealousy will eat you alive. It's an internal cancer that will eat you alive. Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." And so we need to understand that we came into this world with nothing, as that little quotation I read you about Finn says, and we're going to go out with nothing, with nothing. Thirdly, gambling is built on the sin of discontent, which is closely tied into this as well. It's been on, built on the philosophy that I don't have enough, I need more. It's built on the philosophy just opposite of the Apostle Paul's philosophy and the biblical philosophy, which is Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of one, Paul says, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And what he told Timothy, and young Timothy could have been really drawn to things, like every generation is. In 1 Timothy 6:6, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's a play on words, by the way. You want to really win big and have a great gain? Then be content with what you have. I know a lot of people, got a lot of stuff, and they're still not contented. They never are contented. They're always discontented. They want more and more and more and more. And Paul says, whatever God chooses to give me, that's enough for me. I'm content with that. I'm content with it. I'll not be discontent. Fourthly, gambling is built on the sin of exploitation. Exploitation. We have to understand, for every winner, there are millions of losers. There are millions of losers. These losers have been sucked into the marketing and scheme and campaigns, and they become victims of the lottery system or whatever system it may be. Some writers say gambling is the violation of the eighth commandment that says thou shalt not steal, because you're stealing money out of somebody else's pocket. The only reason you've got it is because somebody else doesn't have it and they put money down on a lottery ticket too. That's the only reason you stole money from them. And when you steal basically from the poor, and most poor people do the gambling, and so it says in James chapter 5 how God feels about exploiting the poor. Gambling also is fifthly built upon the sin of lustful, lazy entertainment. Gambling for a lot of people is a rush. It's a fix. It's a ride. It's just a high. And America's on a gambling high. That they're lazies, and so they, rather than work, they want a form of entertainment, and this is their entertainment. It gives them a rush. It gives them this high. And Proverbs chapter 6, chapters 13, 15, 21, and chapter 24 all speak about lazy and not working, but just wanting to be entertained. So gambling is built on the sins of materialism, greed, discontent, exploitation, and laziness. Sixthly, gambling is built on the sin of distrusting God. I believe God knows what I need. And I believe that God has provided me with whatever I have up here mentally, whatever skills or whatever you've been able to hone through the years, whatever you do for a living or did for a living, God's provided you that with that expertise and that knowledge and that ability, that talent. And God will supply my needs through that, not the lottery. God's going to supply my needs, not the lottery. And that's why Philippians 4:19 so it says, my God, not my lottery, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I love what the Lord said about that in Matthew 6:26. You remember he said, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And so the poet put it well when he said, said that robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Well, said the sparrow to the robin, I think it, friend, it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. So we don't have a heavenly Father that cares for us like the sparrows do. God says, you're worth much more than a sparrow. I trust God to meet my needs. I trust God to meet. How big is your God anyway? How big is my God anyway? And then, seventhly, gambling is built on the sin of irresponsible stewardship. How dare me take money God has permitted me to have and to earn? How dare me take that and give it to people that are in the gaming industry and give it to the casinos and give it and gamble it away in such a fashion? Gambling my money away is an irresponsible stewardship of that which God has entrusted to me, and I'm going to be answerable to God for that one day. Eighthly, gambling is built upon the sin of failure to meet the needs of my family. Divorce rates are higher among compulsive gamblers. Families break up because of somebody in that family is a compulsive gambler and have gambled away much of the family's resources. And in some ways it's worse than alcoholism, it really is. And 1 Timothy 5:8, you all know, says that if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. And then ninthly, gambling is built upon the sin of not loving your neighbor. Listen, if God has permitted you to have a little extra, then you ought to help somebody who doesn't have anything. You ought to give to Feeding America. You ought to give to somebody that you know that doesn't have anything, rather than give it to somebody who doesn't need it, like the casino industry. And so it's built on the sin of not loving your neighbor as yourself. Gambling exploits the needy. Listen, if our society was built on biblical principles and standards, then we would speak out against materialism, we'd place people over things, we would build strong families, we'd exploit nobody, we'd work hard, we'd stop giving people this false hope and this false fantasy that they're going to win something for nothing, and we would be grateful for everything God has given to us, and we would thank God for His blessings upon us. Thank God for His blessings upon us. We do well to remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 when He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I love what the hymn writer wrote when he said, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand." And the chorus says, "Than to be a king of the vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." I hope that's true of you. It should be true of all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us and Your love for us. Help us, Father, to be individuals that, Father, understand that all that we have has come from Your good and gracious hands. And Father, we will not demean what You've given to us and devalue what You've given to us by throwing it away to people that don't need it in the gaming industry. We'll not do that and support these massive buildings and these massive managements and all of that and dishonesty that goes on behind that. And they know that there are millions and millions of losers for every winner. So I pray, Father, that You would help us to be resolute in that regard. And I pray, Father, that You would help us also to be individuals who don't worry about tomorrow. Help us to know that You're going to meet our needs. Help us not to fret and be concerned about tomorrow. Help us, Lord, to trust You. We know we're worth more than a sparrow. You know every bird that falls to the ground. And You know every need that we have. And so I pray that You might help us, Lord, just to trust You. Lord, help us to know that You're bigger than our needs. And You know what our needs are. And You will supply all of our needs according to Your riches. Not out of Your riches, for that would demean from Your riches or take away from Your riches, but according to Your riches. And You're infinitely rich. And because You're infinitely rich, then Father, it doesn't take anything away from You. And because You're infinitely rich, You can just give to us what we need. And it doesn't diminish anything that You have. So we thank You for giving us according to Your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And help us to reach out to those that are in need round about us. Lord, if You have blessed us with an extra here and there, help us, Lord, not to think of more stuff we can buy. Help us to, Lord, help us lead the way for our children and our children's children, our grandchildren to see Pop-Pop and Grandmom and Dad and Mom, they're not consumed with buying new stuff all the time. They're not consumed with the things all around them. They don't need the biggest and the best and the latest and the newest. They don't need all that stuff. They're concerned with other people. Help us to be involved with people, not things, people. Help us to reach out to people. I pray, Father, You might help us to, Lord, be thankful for our Savior and help us to say with this songwriter, "I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand." And as we gather around Your table this morning, in a moment, I pray that, Lord, that song will become a reality and that we'll love Him who first loved us and gave Himself for us. And that, Father, we will sacrificially reach out to others as You sacrificially reached out to us. And we'll thank You for that because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.